Bibles to Psalms chapter 91. Good to have each of you out with us this evening. And we'll continue our study through the book of Psalms. Probably at the current rate, we should be done next year or two, wouldn't you figure? Psalms chapter 91. Didn't really outline the text like I normally do verse by verse. I'm just going to do something a little bit different with this psalm. I had a lot of difficulty with this particular psalm. I'll explain it a little bit further to you as we get down in it. There is some problem in it, but you just got to wade through it, and then we'll bring it out towards the latter stages of the message this evening. Okay, let me give you the title. So you write down the title. Remember, we give you a title to each psalm so that for your memory purposes. Here's the title, The Believer's Safe Place. The Believer's Safe Place. Now, you should know what a safe place is. A lot of times, when you're little, a lot of young children have safe places. Might be underneath their bed. It might be in their closet. Might be under the porch or... My safe place was down on the boat dock. I didn't think anything in the world could hurt me down on the boat dock, you know. But different safe places that people have, and a safe place is just a place you run to during times when you're afraid, during times of distress, during times of hardship. It's a place to run to. And I think this is what this psalm describes is the believer's safe place. Now, what we're going to do with this safe place is we're going to ask questions about it. First of all, we're going to look at what is this place? What is this safe place that believers have to run to? Number two, how does one enter? How does one enter this safe place? Number three, when should one enter? And then number four, what are the results of entering? And then I actually got a fifth one that I didn't put on there, that I'm going to wait and share that with you once we get down there, depending, of course, on the time, okay? So let's ask our first question. What is this place? Now, it says it's based on verse 1 of chapter 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place. You see, it uses the term secret place. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So it uses the term secret place, and that's my basis for the safe place description. We've been introduced to this place earlier in Psalms. And let me show it to you. Keep your place here. Turn to Psalms chapter 27. It was called just by different names, but it's the same place. Different names, but the same place. The believer's safe place. You know, in this old world, we're not guaranteed we won't face troubles, are we? I mean, the Scriptures does indeed say in this world, you will have tribulation. Now, sometimes they're worse than others, but again, we can't never can say, not until we get to heaven in the book of Revelations, can we honestly say there'll be no sorrow, no more pain, no more death. It won't be till we get there. But in this world, at times, God's people faces hardships and trials and problems and cares. But the great thing about being saved is we have a safe place. And that's what this is referring to, that secret place that it's referring to in Psalms 91. Now, as I said, we've seen this earlier. Psalms chapter 27, look at verse 25. It says, in time of trouble, Psalms 27, verse 5, in time of trouble, he shall hide me. He shall hide me. Where's he going to hide you at? He's going to hide you in his pavilion. The idea of the word pavilion is like a tent, a tabernacle. In time of trouble, he'll hide you in his shelter. So you have a picture, in time of trouble, God putting you in a what? He putting you in this safe place. All right, now we met it again. It's called by a little different name. Look at chapter 32, same place. This is probably my favorite word for it. I like secret place, but my favorite word for this place that we're talking about, My favorite is in Psalms 32, verse 7. It says, "Thou art my" what? "Hiding place." You ever heard that old song? "I found a hiding place when sore distressed." Remember that old song? "Jesus, Rock of Ages." It goes on and on. Well, it's called a pavilion, which is a tent. It's called a hiding place, and it's called a secret place. Called all three. It's actually talking about the same place. Well, let's turn back now to Psalms chapter 91. This pavilion, this hiding place, this safe place or this secret place, it's all the same place, just called by different names. And it's the place that we have to run to at time of need and at other times. Now, our first question is, what is this place? Now, most think, and I do tend to agree with them, that most think that this speaking of the Holy of Holies. Of course, you remember in the tabernacle, was that not God's tent? Was that not His pavilion? If you're talking about the God's pavilion in the nation of Israel, where was it at? It was the Holy of Holies, see. If you're talking about His secret place, if you're talking about His abode in Israel, you're talking about the Holy of Holies. You remember the Jews, when they would pray facing Jerusalem. You know why that was? It's where the temple was at. And that's where God lived at in Israel, so to speak. He dwelt in the Holy of Holies. And I believe that's what it's referring to in the text. Now, certainly I do understand that no man was allowed to enter that sacred place, but the high priest once every year with the blood of a bull and a goat. I realize that. But the Holy of Holies represented God's presence in Israel. And when it tells us here in Psalms 91, "He that dwells in the secret place," when it talks about us dwelling in the secret place, when it talks about us being hid in that hiding place, it's talking about God's presence. And it's speaking of communion and fellowship with God. You know, our best times on earth, I was thinking about this morning, our best times on earth, I believe, is those sweet times of communion and fellowship spent in that secret place, in that safe place, in that pavilion, that time we spend alone with our God. I pray that all of you do that. I think that if you're saved as a result of the new birth, there should be a desire for that. One of the great things, let me go ahead and share, one of the great things about being full-time, and I was rejoicing in the Lord this morning, got up at 5, and I went out, it was still a little bit dark, to pray, see, waiting on the sun to come up. And just being able to sit there underneath a tree and just talk to the Lord. Well, I went to that's the secret place, see, that's what this is referring to, the place where you enter into God's presence at, you see. Where you commune with Him, where you fellowship with Him, where you let Him talk to you and you talk to Him. That's what this is speaking of. Except it says you're to dwell in that secret place. You're to dwell in that secret place. So that's what it's referring to. It's a place of communion and fellowship with your God. And everyone here tonight that's saved, every one of us should have that. And every one of us should look forward to doing that. I remember back when I did work, I looked forward to vacations because I got to do that more often. I could get up and didn't have to worry about going out and working hard all day, you know, and then trying to get, you know, you're tired, it's hard to focus. But now I can get up and I can just go and I can just spend time hours upon hours with my God. And there's nothing any more precious than being able to do that. But that every believer needs to spend time alone with the Lord. Can I ask you a question tonight? Let me ask you a question. When's the last time, and I pray it's been today, but when's the last time you got alone in a secret place and spent time with your God? Just you and Him. Just you and your God. Just speaking to Him, letting Him talk to you, reading His Word, doing all of these type things. When's the last time you've done that? One of the things it does is it has such a strengthening effect upon your spirit. So, what is this place? What is this secret place? It's the place where you meet with the Lord and you spend time with Him. Communion and fellowship with the Lord. That's what this secret place represents. And I pray that you do that. And I pray that you spend time with Him. Number two, how do you get in the secret place? How do you get in? Well, there's several ways that you get in. I just mentioned one to you. You get in by the means of prayer, don't you? Isn't that one of the ways that you commune with your Heavenly Father? Does He not say, come boldly to the what? What does it mean to come to the throne? Do we literally go to heaven when we pray? Our prayers do. But we go into His presence when we pray. And we're to go boldly to the throne of grace. And one of the ways that we do it is by praying. We get alone with Him and we pour out our hearts to Him. If we got any cares, we cast those on Him. Sometimes I'll get burdened down and I'll think, well, I just want to go out and throw all this on the Lord, you know, and go out and cast every bit of that on the Lord and then come in and study some more. See, get alone with the Lord and pour out thanks for all the marvelous things that He's done for us. You see, you enter this place one way by the means of prayer, by the means of prayer. And I pray that you've done that today and talked to Him today. Number two, you know another way you enter into it? Letting Him talk to you through His Word. You know, I tell you what. In time of trouble and trial, you know what you need to do? You run to this communion with your Lord. You know why you run to communion with the Lord? Because it gives you strength and it raises you up and it lifts you up. I know I wear this out, but it's amazing how many times then instead of running to this secret place and communing with the Lord, it's amazing how many times people will literally run away. There ain't no strength running away. Running away from the presence of the Lord. Well, running away from communion with God doesn't make you stronger. It don't make the situation better. Would you agree with me tonight that it makes the situation worse? I'll sometimes go, well, what's the matter with so-and-so? Well, Jeff, they've just got so many troubles and going through so much hard time. I said, well, I understand that. But boy, you know what? That's when they really need this place. That's when they really need to draw up close into His pavilion. That's when they really need to run to that hiding place and be strengthened by fellowship. Do you not agree that fellowship with God has a strengthening effect upon your mind and upon your spirit? It raises you up. So you enter by prayer. But you also enter through the means of His Word by reading it. Psalms 119, the writer wrote that his comfort in his affliction was this book. Have you ever been comforted by the book? Have you ever had the book just raise you up? That's how you run to your place. That's one of the ways you commune with God. You pray, you read the book, and you come and hear it. You come and listen to it. You'd be surprised at the number of times that people will come to church and they'll leave and they'll say, boy, I didn't want to come tonight. I didn't want to come tonight and I didn't feel like coming, but I did anyway. And that's exactly what I needed to hear. See? And it had an uplifting effect upon them. Well, that's the way that you enter. You come, you not only pray, you don't only read and get communion with God by taking in His Word. But you come to His place. You come to His house. And His house has an uplift. That's the way you come, one of the ways you come into His presence. And has an uplifting effect upon your spirit. So that's what the secret place is. That place of communion with the Lord. Representative in the Old Testament by the Holy of Holies. How do you enter? Through prayer. Reading of the Word of God. Hearing of the Word of God. Have you ever talked to anyone that was out of fellowship with the Lord? Have you ever talked to a Christian that's lost their joy and lost their peace? Have you ever talked to one that's doing that? If you ever do, here's what you ask them. Ask them how much of the Word of God are they getting. Just ask them that question. Say, how much are you getting of the Word? You know what they'll tell you? I'll guarantee you. I haven't read it in months. I've had people, I haven't read it. I haven't even opened it up in months. Well, have you poured this thing out to the Lord? No, I haven't prayed in a while either. Well, folks, you can't expect to be strengthened, running away from the place of refuge, the place of safety, the place of strength, and the place of encouragement, which is fellowship with our God. That's when you always need it. Folks, that's when you really indeed need it. So many people run away from God instead of running to Him during those particular times. And that's what we need to do. Well, that's what the place is, and those are just some of the ways that we enter it. The problem is about everybody knows that. You don't have to have a degree in theology to know that that's how you enter. The problem is getting people to do it. Getting people to do it. And boy, when you do it, you can be going, I've seen people, this is the truth. I've seen people, well, obviously it's the truth, I'm telling it, ain't it? But I've seen people going through great trials and just tore all to pieces, and then they changed their fellowship. I mean, they were, along with their trial, they were out of fellowship with the Lord. Does that make the trial double hard? If you got a trial, sometimes, I mean, a trial's indeed hard. But, Brother Clarence, if you throw being out of fellowship with the Lord into that trial, that makes it double bad. It makes it double hard, see. And then I've seen them get back in fellowship with the Lord and get at the Lord's feet in prayer and spending time with God and fellowship with God and focusing on God. And you know, I noticed the trial didn't leave. They still had the same trial, but their whole outlook was different. They were strengthened in it and encouraged in it. The trial didn't go away. They still had it. But boy, they were better able to bear up under it when they were in fellowship with the King than they were when they were not in fellowship with the King. Oh, you need to run to your safe place. You need to run to that pavilion anytime. Anytime you face a hardship or trial, that needs to be the first thing you do, and it has a strengthening effect upon your spirit. So that's how you enter. Now, when do you enter? Let's look back up at Psalms 91. I'm going to get through the chapter, don't worry. Verse 1, he that dwells in the secret place, he that does what? It says dwells, don't it? That means stay there. In other words, you just don't go in time of trouble. It should be your habit. It should be a way of life for you of getting into God's presence every day. Do you agree with that? Of spending time with the Lord every day. You should dwell there. That should be a way of life for you. Makes you more fruitful. Psalm 16:11 says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. I've wore this statement out over the years, and I probably will continue to do so till the Lord calls me home. It is indeed true. The better your fellowship with the King, the closer you are to Christ, the happier you are. If you're saved, the farther you drift away from the Lord, the more unhappy and miserable you'll become. You need this place. Well, you need to dwell there. You need to spend time there. That should be one of your greatest joys in life. Can I say that one more time? One of your greatest joys in life should be is that quiet time that you as a child has with your Heavenly Father. That should be some of your most precious times. You say, well, Jeff, I'm just too busy for that. Well, boy, you need to throw something out if you're too busy to do that. You need to do that. That's essential. That's not only that's essential for your spiritual growth, it's also essential for your joy. Also essential for your joy. So you need to dwell there. David craved fellowship with God. Let's look back at Psalms chapter 42. We preached on this a few weeks ago, talking about a thirst for God. Psalms 42, verse 1. As a hart, does everybody know what a hart is? A deer, that's right. As a deer pants after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth. You see what that says? My soul thirsteth for God. He had a thirst for God. What does it mean to thirst after God? That's to desire His company, His fellowship, His place. See, this secret place is God Himself. To desire His comfort, His fellowship, to desire all those type of things. And God's people should have that. That should be something that you, of course, look forward to every day of your life, spending that time alone with the Lord. When I get up and go to work in the morning, of course, not a whole lot of people like to drive to work, but you ought to be thankful that you're able to drive to work. But I remember when I drive to work, one of the things that I look forward to was that quiet time that I could pray all the way to work. See, it made the drive that much more special because I could talk to Him, you see. Seemed like I could concentrate better when I was behind the wheel. But I would talk to the Lord all the way. And that was special to me. I looked forward to that. I'd get up in the morning and have my Bible there and be by the... You give me a cup of coffee and open my Bible up. And that time's always been special to me. Can I ask you a question tonight? Do you thirst after God? Man, people thirst after so many things. They thirst after so many worldly things. But if you've been redeemed, you should have a thirst for your God. A craving for fellowship with Him. Time with Him. Man, I don't have to have a congregation full of people to fellowship with my God. I love coming to church and being here and worshiping. But some of my bestest times, some of my best times, it's when just me and Him's together. And I'm spending time with Him. Boy, I pray that you have that tonight. And I pray that you have that thirst. And that's what that secret place is. Okay? So you need to dwell there. That needs to be a way of life for you. And if it is a way of life, it makes you more fruitful. It makes you happier too. Spend time with Him. A lot of time with the Lord. Okay? Now, obviously, we're to dwell there, but certainly we're to run there in distress. Look down at, as we've already said, look back at Psalms 91. Let's look at verse 2. Psalms 91 and verse 2. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. You see how personal that is? He didn't say He's a refuge. We all know that. He's my refuge. What's a refuge? It's where you run to in time of trouble. You run to your refuge from protection, from storms, and from strife, and from anything that is fearful. He is my refuge. Is He yours? He must be. He's the place you run to. He's my refuge. Now He goes on to say, He's my what? He's my fortress. He's my fortress. Fortress is a place of protection. It's also a place that you run to. See, this fortress, this refuge, this secret place, it's all the same place. It's God. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're to dwell there with Him. It's to be a habit of our life of spending time with the Lord. Daily in our life, spending some time with the Master. But in trouble, it also is we run to Him, to that pavilion also, during times of trial. So He says, He's my refuge, He's my fortress, He's my what? He's my God. In Him I trust. My confidence is in Him, you see. So I tell you, verse 2 is an easy verse to read. But not only do you run to your fortress, not only do you run to your place, but you've got to trust Him. To trust Him means to put your confidence in Him, your hope in Him. Trusting in His promises and all of these things that we're supposed to do. But we also trust in Him. Many people know to run to the Lord, but they not only don't run to the Lord, but when they do run to the Lord, they don't trust Him. So they wonder why they don't ever have any... They wonder why they lose all their joy. They don't have any trust or confidence in things. See, they don't run to Him, and when they do run to Him, they don't trust Him. When should we enter? We should enter whenever... We should dwell there. We should enter there whenever we have trouble. Now in verses 1 and 2, I want you to notice there's four names that's used here for God. And when you look at these names, not only should you run to God, but you'd also need at times to remember who your God is. He's a great God. Remember when we looked at the model prayer and we're supposed to, sometimes before we pray, just focus on who great God is that we're praying to? There's four names for God given in verses 1 and 2. You look in verse 1, it uses the term Most High. Does everybody see the word Most High? That's the Hebrew word Elyon. He's the Most High. When I pray to God, you know who I'm talking to? I'm talking to Elyon. He's the Most High. He's above all things. He not only is above all things, but He owns all things. That's who I'm talking to. Anytime I'm going to this secret place, anytime I go to this refuge, I'm going to Elyon. I'm going to the Most High. He's over everything. Sometimes it's so helpful just to remember who you're talking to when you're praying. You're not talking to me. You're talking to Elyon. You're talking to the Most High. He's over everything. He's sovereign over every situation and in control in every situation. That's who you're talking to. He's the Most High. He's Elyon. He goes on to say, look at the latter part of verse 1. He's not only called the Most High, but He's called the Almighty. The Almighty. He's Shaddai. You've heard that song Eric used to sing, El Shaddai. God Almighty, El Shaddai. He's the Almighty God. He possesses all power. He's omnipotent. There's no limit whatsoever to His power. That's who you're talking to. We're not only talking to Elyon, the Most High, but we're talking to Shaddai. We're talking to a God that's all powerful. He can grant you. Ephesians 3:20, He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or even think. That's who we're praying to. Sometimes it's good to use these names and remember these names, because when you run to your refuge, man, you're running to Elyon, you're running to Shaddai, you're running to the Most High. You're running to one that possesses all power. See? Well, it uses another name for God in verse 2. It says, I will say of the Lord. You see, there's Lord with four capital letters. Who is that? Jehovah. That's the most popular Hebrew name for God. He's the existing one. We looked in Psalms 90 last week. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He's always been. It's His covenant name. Before the foundation of the world, He was. He has no beginning. And He has no end. And such an infinite God is Jeff's God. And before the foundation of the world loved me. Think about it. He's Jehovah. He's the existing one. Finally, the last name for God is given in verse 2. It just uses the term God. My God is Elohim. That's His creation name. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. He's the one that spoke the world and the universe into existence in 6 24-hour days. Now, I don't know about you. When I got one of these great big problems, there ain't no way no one can handle. And then I sit down before I start to cast that care upon the Lord, and I think, now I'm going to the Most High. I'm going to Elyon. I'm talking to Shaddai. I'm talking to the Almighty. I'm talking to Jehovah, the existing one. I'm talking to Elohim, the one that spoke this world into existence in 6 24-hour days. By the time you get to all focusing on who you're talking to, your problem's about this big. Sometimes you need to look who you're praying to. So He says we need to dwell in this secret place. This secret place is our God. He's our refuge. He's our fortress. We need to commune and have fellowship with Him. And during times of trouble, we need to run to Him. Take our refuge up in Him and remember who He is. It has a strengthening effect on you. It really does. All right. Let's move on into the last one. Everybody understand the first three questions? What is the place? What is the secret? It's our God. Fellowship and communion with Him. How do we enter? Prayer. The Word. Listen to the Word. Communion that way. When should we enter? We should live there. We should live there. We should live in fellowship with the Lord and communion with Him. Folks, what does it mean to walk with God? Yes, it sure does. It means to dwell in that secret place. That's exactly what it means. When it says Enoch walked with God, you know what that means? Enoch and God were close. Very few people walk with God. They're an acquaintances. Folks, you can be just as close to the Master. You can be just as close as you want to be. You say, well, that's an Armenian statement. No, it's not. You can be just as close as you want to be. You choose to spend time with the Master. That's time well spent. You dedicate things to spending time with Him. It has a strengthening effect upon your life. And the closer you get, the better able to handle your problems you are. All right. Number four, what's the results? Now, I'm going to fly through this because I want to get to the main thing. Not that I haven't covered the main thing yet, but I've got another main thing that I'm going to cover. All right. What's the results of making God your refuge? What will happen as a result? Well, verse 3, He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. That's a fowler is a trap for birds, a trapper. From the noisome pestilence. That's a grievous disease. As you read this, kind of reminds you of Passover. He delivered them from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers. And under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. He'll protect you. Not only will He deliver you, but He will protect you. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, or for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth in the new day. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right side, but it shall not come near to thee. You see, it's a picture of protection and a picture of deliverance. When you go down into verse 9, it restates what it said in verse 1, just in a different way. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, the Most High, thy habitation. That's what verse 1 said. In verses 10 through 16, it tells you the blessings of it. Same thing as we've already done. No evil will befall you, neither any plague will come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Now, where do we read that at? Matthew chapter 4. The devil quoted that verse to the Lord. Remember? They shall bear thee up, lest any time you dash your foot against a stone, thou shalt tread upon the lion, the adder, the young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him, and I will honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Okay. Now, what the psalm does is it describes making God your refuge, does it not? Running to Him, dwelling there, as we've talked about in all those questions. If you do that, He promises to deliver. He promises to protect. He promises to raise you up on high and all these great blessings in the text. Now, that is indeed a blessing. But I had all kinds of trouble with that. I had all kinds of trouble. I spent 2 days trying to figure this text out. You wouldn't believe the number of hours I spent when I come to this part that I'm at right now, the number of hours I spent trying to just figure out what in the world does this mean. You know why it is? Because God's people's not always delivered from evil in this life. That's what caused me all the trouble in the world. From pestilence, some of the greatest people of God get sick. No evil thing will befall you. In the dark ages, 50 million of our forefathers, evil befell them. It was burnt at stakes, it was thrown in prison. So I was like, I can't understand this, Lord. What's this mean? Well, let's talk a little bit about that. That's where I spent most of my time. I guess I'm ready to preach now. I've just been getting warmed up to this point. But no, it bothered me. It bothered me tremendously. I just couldn't figure it out. One example I can use, I'm not going to ask you to turn it over. You know the book of Acts chapter 12. Acts 12 records a deliverance of Simon Peter. Remember, they put him in prison. They had he was sleeping between soldiers. And then they had 16 soldiers just in charge of keeping him in jail. Remember that? The church prayed and the Lord miraculously delivered him. You can see how Psalms 91 applies there. But in the same text, Herod took James and chopped his head off. He wasn't delivered. He was permitted to die. So I was like, hell, I don't understand this, Master. I don't understand how this fits. Well, many times the Lord does deliver His people as you run to your refuge, and He'll deliver them. I can see times He's delivered me many times in my life. I can't count them. He's done it so much. He delivered me above all things from my sin debt. Is that forever? That certainly, that deliverance lasts forever. Certainly, He does indeed do that. And you can see many examples of it in Scripture, too. The Passover. You can see situations where Israel just wasn't no way they could get out. They made God their refuge, and God delivered them and protected them. 1,000 fell to their left hand and 10,000 fell to right. But then there's other times that doesn't happen in this life. So I dwelled on it and dwelled on it and dwelled on it. And my question is what, and this was the fifth question that I didn't put on the board. What happens when He does not deliver? What happens when He does not deliver? Well, first of all, you still run to your secret place. He may not deliver out of the situation, but many times what He does is deliver in the situation. And I'm going to explain that to you here in just a little bit. And Sister Kim, I'm going to talk about Steve if you don't care. Because he was the answer to this part of this text. He was the answer. Let me explain it to you. If the Lord doesn't deliver us out of a trial or something that we're in, if He sees fit to permit it, we run to our refuge and He gives us delivering grace to bear us all the way through it. And I thought about, and it's just amazing how, and I think it would tickle Steve to talk about this tonight, but me and him was standing out on the porch. And Steve had cancer about 3 years, Sister Kim. 3 years he had that. He had it grievously. He had it everywhere. And he said, Jeff, I know the Lord could heal me. I know He could. But I'm happy now. And he said, I'm getting to talk to other people about the Lord. And the Lord has given me. Now listen, this is what he told me. Y'all didn't hear it. I was there, you know. So the Lord's given me such grace, he said, Brother Coy, that I'm able to. I've never been this close to God in my life, he said. That's what he told me. I've never been this close as I am right now. Never! When I was healthy and more, I never had the closeness and the joy that I got right now. Folks, where did that come from? Somebody tell me. He ran to his refuge and God provided him that sustaining grace, but I'm not done. All that was something. And then he went on to say, the Lord could heal me. But if not, Jeff, I think him the way the Lord sustained me in this is even a greater miracle than if He'd heal me right now. Somebody say amen. That's what He said. And He's right. He was 100% right. He might not have delivered out of the situation, but He delivered in the situation. He provided him. Does everybody see what I'm talking about? The whole time He had it, the God of heaven provided him grace that held him up and encouraged so many people by this man. That's what it means to deliver, and that is to deliver in the situation, to deliver in it. The Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh in the book of 2 Corinthians 12. Y'all remember that? He asked the Lord to take that thing away 3 times. He asked Him to take it away. Lord, take this thing away. Lord, take this thing away. You know what the Lord did? I ain't going to do it, Paul. I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to do something greater. I'm going to give you the grace to bear up underneath it. Here you go. See? And he had it. Have you ever seen anybody have that? Have you ever seen anybody have that grace? I thought back to Dewey Ball. Horribly sick. Horribly sick. Never forget when I went and seen him, the shape he was in. Eyes clear, couldn't talk because I had that ventilator and things in. Calm. Calm, Brother Bill. Calm. Just like I talked to him any other time. Except he couldn't obviously talk, but he could write down what he said. He was calm and he knew where he was going. What did he have? He ran to his refuge. This safe place. Even though the Lord didn't deliver in the way that we might think, He delivered in it and provided him the grace to carry him on down till it was time that he really delivered from it and took him on home to be with him. So that was my trouble. Sometimes the Lord does indeed deliver like Psalms 91 says. But if not, God always provides sufficient grace for His people in order to bear up. And then when you're saved, folks, listen, everyone here tonight that's saved, we already got the ultimate deliverance, don't we? We got victory over death. We're delivered from our sin debt. We got a home in heaven. Whatever we face this side of glory is just temporary anyway. And whatever it might be, the Master will supply sufficient grace and then at the end take us on home to be with Him. Oh, God's people said, make the Lord your refuge. Make the Lord your refuge. Well, folks, that's our safe place. That's who we run to all the days of our life. It should be a dwelling that we have. If you're here tonight and saved, you say, well, Jeff, I'm not very close to the Lord anymore. Let me tell you why that is. You're not spending no time with the Lord is why that is. You need to dwell in you need to go to your secret place. Start spending time with the Lord. Not only when you're having trials, but every day of your life. Let's all stand. Thank you for your attention this evening. I pray that that makes sense to you and blesses you. That wasn't an easy psalm for me. I even had to call the dean on it. You know, I called the dean, it's pretty bad. But that's a tough text.